television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems.
Hi!
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Miniskirt Cast on the Sci-Fi Channel's Alice.
Yes.
I'm Jen, and if I were in a Lewis Carroll novel, I would be the White Queen, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and off with their heads! And I am an anomaly.
Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Okay, we're recording.
The minicast.
That's
Sorry.
Right. We're recording in our office, so you may hear people coming in and out in a little while. We're all by ourselves right now. We may have another person join us.
Towards the end.
At the end. But anyhow, what did we think?
Angela especially had a very, very, very good time watching the incarnation of Alice, on the Sci-Fi Channel. There are some things I didn't like about it, but we're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, in the interest of full disclosure, I want to put it out here, A, there will be spoilers, and B, that I think that it was more my anomaly girly side that enjoyed it more than my anomaly geeky side, although my anomaly geeky side was the reason that I watched it in the first place. So I will get into that a little bit.
I had avoided this show because I did not like Tin Man. And it is my belief that if you're going to reboot a classic, you better do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And sci-fi is not good at things.
Not good at everything.
Not at good at a lot of things, let's just put it that way. And Battlestar was a unique diamond in the rough. Well, mm-hmm. It wasn't a diamond in the rough. It was a diamond amongst a bunch of cubic zirconias.
Well, I did enjoy Tin Man, but I enjoyed it kind of for the same reasons that I enjoyed this. I liked the actors. I thought the casting was really good, and I liked some of the shticky effects and the concept I enjoyed,
mm-hmm.
but some of the execution, the writing, oh my gosh.
Dialogue.
So that goes into something else we wanted to talk about, but I wanted to first introduce, this is something I came up with, and I put this on the forum, and I wanted to go ahead and talk about it on the podcast since not everybody goes to the forum, that I've decided that for sci-fi programming in general, that there's a sliding scale of judgment from Mansquito to Battlestar. And that will be our new judgment for all things on the Sci-Fi Network. My opinion is that this show, as far as acting, casting, and the people in general, and the idea was closer to Battlestar, but that the effects, some of the execution, and the writing especially is closer to Mansquito. That's just my personal opinion.
So do we want to talk about the Battlestar qualities before we go into the Mansquito qualities?
I want to just go, because I really liked what you had to say, and I think we need to talk about that, about the rebooting and,
mm-hmm.
you know, our opinions about how they use the source material, I guess,
okay.
is the best
well,
way.
Well, the concept I thought was really good. There were some really interesting ideas they had going there, but it just seemed to me like a rough draft.
Yes.
That someone put forth,
mm-hmm.
and no one tweaked.
Right.
There were a lot of things that needed to be fleshed out, polished, but it seems like someone just looked at it and go, awesome, go for it, let's get it done, you know,
right.
and they just ran with it.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I mean, I wanted to go ahead and go specific if you want to, because
mm-hmm.
I like this topic. I think it's the most important thing about our discussion was the idea that, you know, some of the things that were so obvious that they didn't do regarding the story and how they glossed over. To me, I think there are two things. A, if they were going to do something so foreign and just say, okay, well, this is just an homage to it. This is our version of Alice in Wonderland. But they did make a point to, like, when she goes and first meets the Hatter, he's like, you know, are you the Alice of legend? And so they've already put forth, okay, well, this is the same world we're used to. It's just that it's way in the future or something. And then what I didn't like was that because they did that, they didn't park back enough. Like, for instance, the Hatter. Is the Hatter the actual Hatter, but time doesn't move the same way and things have all gotten all crazy? Or is the Hatter like the great-grandson of the actual Hatter? Or did he read about the Hatter at some point and think, oh, I'm going to put on the hat and take on this persona? You don't know. And almost the same thing with the Queen. You get the impression that the Queen, it's always been the Queen, but then now all of a sudden she has a son and, you know, there's all these things. And it was just so... There was just so many things from the source material that they could have used that they just left. you know, when you read the original story or watch the movies about the original story, you have Mad Hatter and the March Hare are, like, together, you know, drinking tea. And they have, like, these crazy conversations, and there's all kind of madness going on. You know, madness, because it's Alice in Wonderland. And they could have played off the fact that they had been friends. The scene where March Hare goes and is torturing Mad Hatter, there could have been something there. Like, it could have been more interesting. But also, the whole March Hare thing is, like, completely stupid, I have to say. It was just completely stupid. I hated it.
It seemed like an afterthought.
Yeah, it was just so dumb. It's like, this could have been so cool. I was upset that they, like, glossed over things that were obvious. Things that were so easy that, like, the first-year writer could figure out as far as, like, how to enrich the material. Mm-hmm. And it's like they did, you're right, it's like they did a first-draft version. And also drove me to the idea that, really, Joss Whedon needs to just quit what he's doing. He doesn't need to produce anymore. Although I love things that he produces. He just needs to script doctor everything. Every single thing that goes through anything anywhere that's sci-fi or fantasy. Right. George Lucas needs to
do special effects.
And I don't believe in monopolies, but I think for this I will make an exception. And this is my decree. My official decree as the Queen of Arts is that Joss Whedon just needs to script doctor every single thing that everyone writes having to do with sci-fi or fantasy. Battlestar, I felt that way. Star Wars, I felt that way. And this definitely is one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh.
It had such potential.
Joss really loves, you know, girl heroine stories. I mean, he could have just, like, torn the
Okay. Well, now that you've mentioned the girl heroine thing and the fact that Joss features that prominently in any of his shows, and most of them have the ability to defend themselves.
Yes.
I would like to make the point that, as a woman who knows martial arts, I found it exceedingly annoying that they made a big deal out of her being a judo instructor.
Black belt.
Yet in the scene where the white rabbit takes the ring from her, he gets her in a headlock and flings her around, and then the geriatric old man with the cane runs off, and she runs like Pamela Anderson down the street after him. You know, they just picked it up right after that. All of a sudden, she can kick butt again and can take care of herself.
Yeah.
There was the little details like that that bugged me. And then there was another scene where all of a sudden she's afraid of heights, can't move.
Yeah.
And she was hanging from a spaceship. She screamed when she fell, but she's looking around, you know, when she's hanging. And
yes.
I mean,
they get through.
The points where you were talking about the Mad Hatter and his relationship in the book to the March Hare, that could have been explored. The Mad Hatter, while he was very cool, he wasn't mad.
But see, that's what I mean, is that, like, that could have been explained by saying, like I was talking about before, is it the great-grandson? Is it, you know, did he just take on this persona in order to be undercover? And that could have explained him being exactly how he was if they would have said something. If there would have been a picture of the real Mad Hatter, like, in his office or, you know, something. And I just felt like they didn't... Yeah, you're right. It did feel like they didn't take the time to...
Explore things
that were so obvious, too. Again, not things that, like, you had to be some kind of Alice Wonderland scholar to figure out, but, like, things that any normal person would be like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. Some of the good things, I have to say, is, like, I did like some of the costuming. Sans March Hare, because that whole thing was stupid. The whole concept of that, I just thought was so silly. I did like the casino girls in the card outfits, and how the men were in their suits, quote-unquote.
Yeah, the costume was pretty neat.
And I really liked her costume. I liked the idea that... I actually was in, like, a redone version of Wizard of Oz a long time ago, and that's a similar costume to what our Dorothy wore. So, can you go get it? Thank you. I'm attached to this thing. Hey! We're about to get to the good part.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I've been containing myself, haven't I?
Yes, you are.
I've been really good. Anyway, so I really did like her costume, and I need a blue dress and a pair of red tights. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, before I forget.
Okay.
The one thing that annoyed me above all else were the pink flamingo speeder bikes.
They were kind of weird.
Agreed.
They even had the scene where she drops into the forest. Give me a break. It was like RuPaul designed
its trick,
the speeder bikes from Return
of the
Jedi.
It was like Fahrenheit 451, that movie, the old movie with the guys on those weird motorbikes. It was awful.
That's awesome. That's true. So, I do agree with that.
And at times, I know it's, you know, it's...
I like the idea that they flew, but the thing... We are, but it's going to only just be a few minutes. Okay. It'll be like 5-10 minutes.
I know that I seem to be ripping it apart a lot, but then again, I don't like the film, and Angela kind of did. And
I did.
Had a short amount of time and a low budget and all that, but there have been things that have been done
still
low budget.
Dr. Horrible, sing-along blog,
yeah.
The Guild.
Hello.
All written correctly.
Those things are low
all
budget.
All are low budget, and all are awesome, and the reason is
and
because
Sci-Fi Channel
writing.
Has a little bit of money and muscle behind it to get someone who can do something like
and
that.
And there's no reason that it
so
should have
anyway,
turned out that way.
At times I thought it wanted to be an Austin Powers movie.
Yeah, it felt a little silly at times.
Like the flamingo thing. Are you kidding me? You know, kind of like, you know how Ewan McGregor is kind of embarrassed about being in the Star Wars prequels?
Yes.
I can guarantee you some of the actors that were in this, like Kathy Bates, may not be real proud of it.
I don't know. I mean, I think the casting wasn't bad. I liked the actors
Yeah.
and I liked the
I
characters, but I just didn't like the writing. That's the thing that got me. However, I did the most important thing, and I have been keeping myself contained, Jen can tell you.
Yes.
Is that my favorite thing about the entire movie is the love story between Alice and the Mad Hatter. Oh my gosh, I think I'm gonna die. So cute.
That's him.
So
oh, yeah, our coworker has a picture of him on her
wallpaper.
We
all have pictures up on our...
All? Wall. Excuse me?
Yes. Except for Jenny, because Jenny doesn't like him.
She's a hater.
She's a Hatter hater. Angela loves him, and he's my new boyfriend. I know I'm married. I kid.
I think that's why you guys like this series. It's
again,
just because of that actor.
No, yes.
Yes. Without him, it would be nothing.
I could watch it again and again, and I have watched it again and again. But let me just tell you, it's cute.
He's cute, but he's nothing special. I mean,
oh,
I don't
Jen.
Look, I also don't like Johnny Depp. I'm sorry.
He's like a nerdy version of Johnny Depp, which makes him hotter, I think.
You don't mess with Johnny Depp.
I don't know. Because Johnny Depp, though lovely, greasy.
Yes, thank you.
A little.
He looks like he stinks.
I agree with you.
Jenny thinks he's sticky.
Agree with you. He's in his own like world as far as you don't touch him, but you know, a little more accessible. That's the best word.
Yes. True.
Yes. A little more accessible.
So
but
good.
I and honestly, I really did enjoy how they played out the love story because it was so cute when she was trying to leave and the awkwardness when he was like, he really wanted to give her a hug and he wasn't sure if she liked him and it was just so cute. It was cute. Because of this, I have been like launched into wanting to watch Primeval, which is a BBC show he was on. I have started watching it on iTunes, so we may have to do a review.
Gosh. I'm a Nora Ephron fan, so that's my idea of the perfect kind of a romance story.
I hate that.
I hated this either.
Because it seems so...
He fought and defended for her the entire time, and at first, for a while, you didn't know, like, maybe he was going to sell her out, because, like, that might happen. That's very intense, and oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And then, when she gets back, you know that even though she's sad about her father, like, in the back of her brain, she's like, oh my gosh, I wonder if I'm going to see him again. And you're like, oh, maybe she really does like him. Oh gosh, what's going to happen? And then, you know it's going to be the construction worker. You know, and it's still exciting. It's still exciting to see the look on her face when she sees him, and when she yells, Hatter, and she runs to him, and then when he has that look on his face, and he's all
mirror scene.
And then the mirror, and then they have that mirror. That was like the only good piece of filmmaking in the whole thing is that when they cock the camera and you see like the infinity in the mirror of them kissing. Oh my gosh, that was, I mean, hello, that was totally awesome. It was totally awesome. Okay.
You guys have been going on about that for like, Monday morning. Every day I have to hear about you guys talking about him.
It was just so cute.
It's so cute, and it's very heartwarming. And I'll admit to, openly, that this is something that our listeners know about, that I'm involved in local theater. And it has been very, very stressful for me for the past few years. And I quit this week. They're telling the board today, which is why I didn't want to make an announcement for now. And I think that coinciding with the relief of me not having that responsibility anymore has reverted me to 16-year-old Angela. So maybe I should watch Twilight again.
You already like Twilight, so
No. Twilight I was indifferent about because I was like, well, I have to revert.
Bopper.
I have to revert to 16. But now it may be a lot easier for me too. And I admit that a lot of this, and I started out the podcast, started out the minicast, with all of my good adult points, didn't I?
Mm-hmm, you did.
And now I'm allowed to be 16 for a little while. It's so cute.
So in closing.
Jenny, anything.
You must turn off your brain if you're a sci-fi fan. Well, I don't know. I'm sure there are fans that are listening right now that enjoyed it.
And I
don't mean to insult anybody.
No.
I think that there were many good things about this miniseries, but also many faults. And me being kind of a logical, creative person, combination, it's very hard for me to, like, turn that off when I'm watching something like this.
I understand.
So
I was able to, and I think that's why I liked it, is because I usually do, I don't go to the movies very much. My husband gets mad at me, and Jim gets mad at me, because he's like, just go to the movies. And I said, it's hard, because I do just watch it, but I think I've been in such a good mood past week, and this came at exactly the right time for me to just go, click, turn it off, and just be like, pretty.
Pretty Hatter.
Pretty Hatter. This is a cute boy. And also, Alice's hair is like exactly like mine. So oh,
yeah, you did say several times she was Angela Rivick.
She's Angela Rivick. That's what Jim calls her. Except for the blue eyes. I don't have blue eyes. And I can't kick butt like she can. I usually curl up in a little ball. You know, in all the times I've been in fights, which is never. I can just imagine. Anyway, I hope we're still recording. Yep, we are.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad Jim talked me into going the one notch down.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
But, do you have a closing statement, Shirley?
Oh, we forgot to even introduce you. Come closer, because you're a long ways off, and that will not pick up very well.
Hello.
Shelly's kind of our non-anomaly friend.
I'm a little more girly than geeky this weeky. You
understand? I'm more girly than geeky this weeky. I love it.
I don't know. I really liked this little film because I liked his hat.
We did
I'm
talk
a
about
for
the
guy in hats.
I am too, but
big time.
Eyeliner is me. I'm a sucker for eyeliner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
Jared Leto.
I know, right? Everybody? There's nothing geeky that he's been in, though, so we can't talk about him. I think that's it. I think we're good. Thank you, Shelly, for coming and talking. You
yes,
came just
you
in the right
much.
Amount of time.
Well, I didn't get to say my comment about the March hare.
Oh, please do.
Did you talk about that?
We both did.
A little bit. What comments do you have about him?
I just thought it was creepy. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was speaking creepy, of, but not cool at all. I mean,
no.
It can be a little creepy, but not that creepy.
It's supposed to be the Mad Hatter and the March Hare. Mm-hmm. And yes, given they're both mad, but they made him like a total robot crazy thing. And
it didn't fit.
It didn't work.
It didn't fit with the whole feeling of the entire series.
Right. It was very
like I loved the White Rabbit.
Yes.
I thought that was very clever.
Very
and
clever.
Then they come up with the March Hare, and I'm like, what the
and
heck?
And the Caterpillar. Very clever.
I like that the way the costume
made it
was.
Work.
You're right.
But they went overboard with his
also,
costume.
I didn't understand what they were doing in the hospital. Like, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't think they fleshed out the whole idea of the emotions being drugs for people. Like, I got that. Mm-hmm.
But,
like,
why did they need it?
But then why did they need it? And then, okay, if this is, like, a rehab center, then what, you know, what makes you giant? Or, I guess, envy or pride? I don't know. I was very confused. I was very confused.
See, again,
and
it
also,
wasn't fleshed out.
Also,
so
remember
yeah.
at the end when she takes, that he gives her the innocence?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she didn't react
and then
to it.
Never, there was never
I was like,
innocent.
Oh, it's going to affect her in some way. She
That's
was not.
I thought so. I'm thinking maybe that might have given her just enough of silliness to send all their guards out to the skeletons.
I think
maybe?
They're giving too much credit.
I mean,
to
I don't know. I think I am too.
I think they completely,
but
like
I thought
said,
that
glossed
would be
over.
A way for them to somehow gain an edge because she was going in a different state of mind and that they completely, like, forgot about it.
We
it
need to
really
point
weird.
Out the fact that Gaeta was in it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Eureka who played Max Headroom. He was
in it. Matt Fuhrer.
Yes.
Tim Curry.
Curry. O'Brien for the
yes.
win.
Yes. I thought he did a good job.
I did too.
Kathy
guy?
Bates.
Kathy Bates.
Who else?
The guy from Saved by the Bell.
Was the guy from Saved by the Bell? Oh, that's right. You said, please explain where he's from Saved by the Bell.
In the Christmas episode where Zach falls in love with the homeless girl.
the dad.
The father plays Alice's father, the guy who's mixing all the emotions.
Like a steel trap, that one.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Can't get by me. And the girl from...
She's pretty good. If I didn't have IMDb, I'd just have her.
What's the Harriet the Spy?
Oh, that's right. And
the little snotty English girl was the Duchess.
And the Duchess, I thought that played out. I did like how that played out. Mm-hmm. But I kind almost wish that kind of, you know how at the end of Lord of the Rings when they don't say that Faramir and Eowyn get together, but they just kind of like
have
hint
them
at
together.
It. I wish that they would have had her like in the room somewhere so that when he realized, I mean, so that he could kind of jointly realize that Alice wasn't the one.
She kind of dumped him.
She did.
She kind of like dumped him and was like, I'm a different girl now.
I wish they would have done that mutually, and the Duchess would have been there, and he'd have been like, you know, yeah. She really does care about me,
yeah.
And she's from my world, and like, that would be a mutual thing, and then, yes. Like, all the, like, glances with the Hatter would have happened so that everybody kind of knew what was going on.
Or just
and,
in the background.
He was just completely dissed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that happened at the beginning whenever she dissed him about the ring, and her mother's like, oh, I know your father left. I thought, oh my gosh, what a cliche piece of crap. That, you know, she automatically act freaked out over a ring.
I think she overreacted.
A ring, period. Yes, it just seems stupid.
She did overreact a little
bit. She was like, oh my God, like all of a sudden frightened of him.
Yes, that was very bizarre.
Stupid.
But it is kind of weird. I mean, it was weird when he was like, we gotta go.
I know.
Well, it was weird.
It said one, and he was very blasé about it. Let's go. Would you like to go? Not like somebody is about to bomb the place.
Yeah, that is kind of strange.
Text message?
And like, what were they gonna do? Just like burst in there?
I know.
I mean, he obviously went back. I don't know.
And what was he doing in the real world to begin with?
He went to look for her. To somehow get her for the resistance to
so he didn't
her
really
father.
Love her anyways.
Or he was
going to
leave
her.
The ring with her because they couldn't activate the looking glass without the ring.
Well, I don't know. See, that's the thing, is that like the
it's
stuff
weird.
Just didn't
it's not fleshed out,
fleshed out.
Like I said. Well, yeah. Should we wrap it up before?
Yeah, let's
it
go
ends?
Ahead and wrap it up.
Okay,
now this is a good miniskirt. Thank you, Shelley.
You're welcome, ladies.
Okay.
I know that Sue is from New York. Spaltar.
Yes.
She writes for our blog. She had a strange encounter with the March Hares in Union Square. Yes.
Super.
So, read about that on our forum.
Yeah, you think one is scary. Imagine
a whole bunch of
100 of them.
Yeah.
Also, Andrew Lee Potts, I love you.
That's Andrew Lee Potts. Drew, we love
we
you.
We call you now, Drew. Shelley and I love you very much. We're going to start a fan club.
Okay, well, this is Jen.
And this is Angela.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
We love you, Andrew. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. When you're not near us, we're blue. Oh, Andrew, we love you.
Podcasting is hard work. Know what makes it worthwhile? Your emails, voicemails, blog comments, and iTunes ratings. Show us you want more Anomaly by giving us a little hug in the form of feedback. It just takes a few minutes of your time, while recording and editing can take hours, days, weeks, and sometimes months, depending on whether we have to re-record. So give us a little nudge of encouragement. Let us know you're listening. Anomaly is a monthly podcast. To stay up to date with show-related news and scheduling, please join the Anomaly forums. You can find a link on our website, or you can go there directly at anomalypodcast.freeforums.org. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Anomaly blog. There, a team of talented writers keep our listeners entertained and informed with articles related to games, books, movies, and general geeky observations in between our Anomaly episodes. Find a link to our blog and other useful bits of information on the Anomaly Podcast website. That's anomalypodcast.com. Call our Google voicemail line. It's free to anyone calling from a continental U.S. landline using the widgets on our blog and website. Anomaly is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license. Please visit wineandalchemy.com to learn how you can buy their music.